G'day, good to see you tonight. My name's Richie, I'm one of the pastors here. Good to meet you if I haven't met you before. Well, some years back, I went to North Queensland, and it was my first time there, and I see two very different pictures of the place. The first picture was of brown, dry Townsville. At the time, the grass was brown, the leaves on the trees were going brown, even the water in the sea was brown. Nothing seemed to be growing there. Things were dying or dead. My sister calls on the first afternoon. She asks, "How's Townsville?" I look across the landscape and I think I say something like desolate. We soon start calling it Brownsville instead of Townsville. But the second picture of North Queensland was completely different. It was of greenery and life. We travelled about an hour north or so to a place called Crystal Creek. Now, I think the name gives it away, doesn't it? Crystal Creek. Beautiful water, green, lush vegetation, delicious fruit market nearby, selling all the local produce. Things here were growing. Well, there's two pictures, one dry and desolate, the other green and fruitful. I wonder, for you, which one better characterizes your life? How do we lead a Crystal Creek sort of life, a life full of growth and fruit? That's a question this passage answers. Really, it's one of the key questions this whole section answers. We've been working our way through John's Gospel since the start of term two. John's Gospel is a biography of Jesus, and there's been a progression or a movement in the story as we've gone. Chapters 1-4 were about the invitation to come and see Jesus. Chapters 5-12 were about our response to Jesus. After seeing him, would we believe in Jesus? But chapters 13-21, and especially chapters 13-17, are about living with Jesus. Believing in Jesus gives us life, but how do we live in him? How do we have a fruitful life in him? And so our series this term is called Believe and Live. The byline is abiding with Jesus in John 13-21. And if you've been coming along over the last few weeks, you would have been hearing a bit already about how to live in Jesus, how to lead a fruitful life in Jesus. Stuff like living a life of love and humility, living a life empowered by the Holy Spirit, living a life where we leave our troubles at Jesus' feet. We've already been seeing that sort of thing. But this passage really zooms in on how to lead a fruitful life as followers of Jesus. How do we lead a fruitful life when the world around us is hostile to Jesus? How do we lead a fruitful life when Jesus seems so distant from us? How do we lead a fruitful life when we're distracted or suffering or angry or scared? Well, Jesus says it's all about, absolutely all about, your connection to him. He tells the story of a vine, some branches, and a gardener. And he says, he is the true vine, the source of life, and we are the branches connected to him. If we remain connected to him, we'll bear much fruit. God, the heavenly gardener, will prune us to help us grow. But if we don't remain connected to Jesus, if we separate ourselves, our lives will not only be dry and fruitless, they'll be lifeless. Today we'll look firstly at our vine-to-branch connection to Jesus, then we'll be encouraged to remain in him, and finally to bear much fruit. And if you're a Christian, I hope today helps you better appreciate your connection to Jesus so you do abide in him and live a fruitful life. And if you're not a Christian, I hope today's an opportunity for you to consider how fruitful or not your life is, and I hope you're intrigued or drawn toward the life found in Jesus. Well, firstly, let's look at the connection Jesus says believers have with him. He says it's a vine-to-branch sort of connection. In verse 5, he says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." Now, in our family, my wife Jasmine is the gardener. She's always out tending to her garden. We've seen Courtney Ann's garden pictures as well. And for us, depending on the season, or really for Jasmine, not for us, I sometimes look at the garden, but she's the one who does all the work. Depending on the season, we enjoy everything from tomatoes to capsicum, zucchini, rocket, coriander, chili, blueberries, gooseberries, strawberries, you name it, our garden. And what's happening is our lawn is constantly getting shrunk as more and more space gets taken up by these garden beds. But one plant we've never had is a grapevine. And when Jesus talks about the vine and branches, that's specifically what he's got in mind. So here's a picture of a vineyard there, and then here's some grapevine up close. And Jesus is saying, in our relationship with him, he's the thick, trunky central bit. So he's that bit there. He calls that the vine. So that's what he's calling the vine, there, that thick bit. And then and we're the little tendrils, the offshoots. So we're all that little stuff up there. That's what he's calling the branches. And these little branches, they depend totally on the bigger vine for life. Those little branches are sort of fused, connected in, bound into the big trunk. That's where all their nutrients come from. If they're cut off from it, of course, they'll die. Oh, thanks, Cameron. And this is the sort of connection believers have to Jesus, branch to vine. Theologians call this our union with Christ, that we are united to him like a branch is united to a vine. Now, a branch to vine connection is super dependent, and we are utterly dependent on Jesus. We've just been singing that, declaring that as we've just sung the song Abide, and I depend on you, I depend on you, I depend on you. And we see this in the passage. In verse 4, Jesus says, no branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In verse 5, he goes even further into this dependence topic. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want to lead a fruitful life, it flows directly from our connection to Jesus. In fact, if we want life at all, we're totally dependent on our connection to him. As Jesus said back in chapter 14, I am the life. So a branch to vine connection is super dependent, and also a branch to vine connection is super real. Now, I reckon a lot of the time we imagine our connection to Jesus is much less real and deep than that of a vine to a branch. So we think the connection is just that he makes promises to us, or that he does things for us, or perhaps we're connected just because of the love that he has for us. But Jesus, by using vine to branch language, and by him saying what he did back in chapter 14, verse 20, about I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you, and by the Apostle Paul later talking about a body-to-head connection with Jesus, all this stuff pushes us to realize there's something more here. See, if you have faith in Jesus, if you've been given life by Jesus, you're really united to him. You're united to him by the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, he's made his home in you and you in him, mutual indwelling. There's a real connection. After reading this chapter, you might even call it an organic connection. Last year, we looked at the book of Ephesians and we saw Paul's language of us being in Christ to describe this union, that we located in him. And here in this passage, we get another angle on the relationship we have with Christ. According to Jesus, being in him is like being part of a vine. And if you're in the vine, then all of the life of the vine is yours. As a branch, you share in it. It's a vine-to-branch sort of relationship. So Christianity is not just a bunch of ideas or thoughts or teachings. No, there's actually a supernatural work of God going on in our life through our connection to Jesus. And because we have a real vine-to-branch connection to Jesus, you know what that means for you? It means you already have the life of Jesus at work in your life. See, sometimes we feel like we'll never change. Maybe one day when Jesus comes back, he'll make us new then, but not now. But no, right now, if you're a Christian, you're already connected to the vine. You're a branch. It's not that you will be one day, you are now. And because you're alive through the vine, because you're connected to Jesus, there's a sort of inevitability to fruitfulness occurring in your life. As Jesus said in verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Fruitfulness is going to happen because you're united to him. His life flows into yours. Now, one of the big questions everyone asks when they read the passage is, what is the fruit? Fruit is mentioned all over the place at least 8 times. Some people, they look at verse 10 and they say the fruit is obedience, that we keep Jesus' commands. Other people, they look at verse 11 and say it's joy, the joy of Jesus overflowing in our hearts. Other people, they look at verses 12 and 13 and 17 and they say the fruit is love, loving others like Jesus has loved us. Still others, they look at verse 16 and Jesus' commission there to go and bear fruit, and they say it's evangelism, more people coming into the kingdom. You know, obedience or joy or love or faithful witness, what is it? What's the fruit? Well, to best understand what the fruit is, you need to go back to the vine and branch metaphor. You know, grapevines produce grapes, tomato vines produce tomatoes, and being connected to Jesus means you produce Jesus-like fruit. Ultimately, the fruit in this passage is the character of Jesus lived out in our own lives. It's the life of him at work in us, which of course means it's all those things, his obedience, his love, his joy, his witness, and more. In verse 8, Jesus explains it like this. He says, "It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The fruit shows or reveals that we follow Jesus specifically, like that person, that one. Like, so sometimes in Jasmine's garden, a random sort of plant pops up. It's something that's self-seeded, and she doesn't know what it is. Is it a zucchini or a cucumber or a pumpkin? Which one is it? And she can only tell when it begins to bear fruit. And because we are branches connected to his vine, to Jesus' vine, we produce fruit that reflects Jesus. So we've seen that we've got a branch to vine connection to Jesus. We've seen it's dependent and real. And it's also a connection that gives us life and causes us to bear much fruit. That's the first point. Next thing to ask is, if you have a branch to vine connection to Jesus, what should you do? What should you do about it? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. He tells us again and again and again. He says, remain, abide, stay. If you're given a beautiful house, fantastic yard, spectacular views, perfect location, you don't leave, you stay, you enjoy what you've been given. If you're swimming up at Crystal Creek and someone from Brownsville calls up and they tell you it's better down in their brown, dry waterways, you don't go, you stay. Or if you're a farmer and you've got a cracking good property and you've got perfect soil, perfect orchard, perfect aspect, perfect, I don't know, water access, you name it. If you've got that and someone offers you some crumbly, useless patch of dirt somewhere else, you don't go, you remain. And Jesus says, don't go, remain. He says it in as many ways as he can. Verse 5, remain in me as I remain in you. Remain in the vine, remain in me. It's there in verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, even verse 9 and 10. Remain in my love, he says. Jesus is like a song stuck on repeat, blaring out the same message again and again and again. But right now in our society, there's a movement to go rather than stay. You got the hashtag ex-evangelical, former evangelical Christians who've exited, most of the time who've left the faith altogether. And there's this seemingly compelling narrative. They tell a story of suppression and now freedom, a story where they couldn't be themselves and now they can be whoever they'd like to be. And now, for sure, there's things churches have done that totally aren't good or loving, and things we definitely need to say sorry for. But here in this passage, Jesus, the Son of the Father, he says life is only found in connection with him. And more than that, the sort of life you and I were designed to have is a fruitful life, a Crystal Creek sort of life. We were made to grow ever more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We were made to be filled with his love and joy and servant-heartedness. And so if you're someone and you're thinking of leaving, have a think, what good fruit will come in your life from leaving? I reckon, if anything, your life will probably become more about you. And things like self-gratification and independence, perhaps even a pride and entitlement, maybe a sort of a sense of hard-done-by-ness or even maybe a bitterness, these things will likely mark your character. And these things are the opposite of what Jesus wants for us. And he says the end result of leaving the vine is destruction. He says, verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Jesus is the true vine. There's no life outside of him. No forgiveness, no restoration, no cure for our self-centered, proud hearts. See, you were not designed to live life on your own. You will never survive as a trunk out there by yourself. You and I were made to be branches. And you will find your fullness as a branch connected to the vine. So if you've become a Christian or if you've grown up trusting in Jesus all your life, stay, remain, stick with him. You're in Crystal Creek, don't go to Brownsville. Maybe even right now you're right on the edge, or you're at the door and you're looking out. Well, can I plead with you? Don't step out. Throw yourself back on Jesus. Find your everything in him. Yet even as you stay, be aware sometimes things will be really hard and you will go through seasons without seeing any fruit. That's actually evidence that God the gardener is at work in your life. Jesus says in verse 1 and 2, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, grapevine pruning is quite thorough, quite severe. I wish I had a picture to show you this. The branches are really cut right back, completely back. But that's what good gardeners do. See, pruning leads to the best quality grapes. So stay, remain, abide, especially during the seasons where God does his pruning work in your life. So we've seen we've got a branch divine connection to Jesus. We've seen we need to remain in that. But how do we remain? How do we stay with Jesus? I know how to stay in my house, by paying the mortgage. I know how to stay in my footy team by trying to keep fit and active. I know how to stay in lots of things. But what will help us stay in Jesus? Well, the answer Jesus gives here is, I think, quite surprising. The answer Jesus gives is, keep my commands. That's what he says. See verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, Jesus doesn't mean be a good person and I'll keep loving you. We've seen in John already, like chapter 3, for example, that he already loved us before we'd done anything good. Jesus is not saying our performance keeps us in. No, not at all. We're kept in by God's grace. What Jesus is saying instead is that obeying his commands, or bearing much fruit, as he puts it later, is how we put our faith into practice. See, faith always produces a response. Think of how faith or belief works in everyday life. Like yesterday, I made countless faith-based choices. I'd heard there was a Blokes Go Bacon event on. I believed it was true, so I put my belief into action and I went down to Evans Head for the event. I turned the ignition on my car because I believed that it would start. I was actually putting my belief or faith into my car, and it delivered. Or later on, Jasmine called out, "Lunch is ready," and I believed, so I came. I did something. See, when we believe, we do things, we act. Faith always produces a response. That's the way it works. And you can't stick with Jesus, you can't remain with Jesus without putting your belief in him into action. See, if you believe, you'll act. You'll seek to keep his commands. You'll respond to his words and promises. There'll be fruit in your life. John Stott said, if we just keep hearing but not doing, we become like fat cats, always feeding on the words but never exercising our faith. And it's a recipe for disaster, one of the quickest ways out of the Christian faith. But when you actually do obey Jesus, it helps you to remain in his love. So when I make a conscious choice to obey Jesus, so when I actually make a costly choice to do something for somebody else, or when I intentionally begin giving financially to someone in need, or Christian organization, or when I actually say sorry for my sin and I admit my lie to somebody in a specific conversation, or when I make a conscious choice to share Jesus with someone and I go ahead and do that, or when I like purposefully put my hope in God rather than turning to despair, when I do these things, it confirms the power of Jesus in my life. Obeying him actually grows my confidence in him because I can see him working in me by faith. See, I'm faithing. Now, there's exercise and exercising, that there should be faith and faithing. Now, I suppose we could say there's already belief and believing. We don't need faith and faithing, but I like faithing. It's that whole thing of responding in faith, acting. And if you want to remain in the vine, if you want to stick with Jesus, do that. Obey his commands. Bear much fruit. Don't simply hear, act. I talked earlier about some of the different fruits in this passage. There was love. Well, who needs love in your life right now? There was obedience. Well, what command of Jesus do you need to listen to and stop disobeying? There was faithful witness. Well, who can you reach out to at the moment? What opportunities are dangling there? You are a branch connected to the vine. You have life in Jesus. Remain in him and bear much fruit. Live out the fruitful life that is yours through your connection to the vine. And as you do that, take heart in what Jesus says at the end of the passage, right down in verse 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Now, on whatever level you've chosen to follow Jesus, on whatever level you're making choices to obey him, really, ultimately, it's not you who has chosen him, but him who has chosen you. He is the one who has connected you to himself like a branch to a vine. He is the one who has sent his Holy Spirit to open your eyes and give you faith. He is the one who's purpose is to make your life fruitful. He is the one whose Father is pruning and tending to you. He is the one who promises in John 6 that he'll lose none of all those the Father has given him. In fact, he is the one who has laid down his life for you. He is the one who has made you his friend and died for you. He is Jesus, the true vine, Lord of life. Remain in him. Let's pray. Father, life comes from Jesus. Help us to see that and know that. Father, help us to remain in him, abide, stay. Father, even when hard, difficult pruning seasons come, help us know that you are not absent in those times, but present and purposeful. Father, we ask that you would help us remain through those seasons and that you would use them to bear much fruit in our life. Father, we ask that we would become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus. We're sorry when we hear your word and don't listen or obey or don't trust what Jesus says. Help us to grow in trust, we ask, that we would become more like him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.